This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
There's a word. If you want to release emails, there is a word for that. It's called release. He didn't use the word release. He used the word dump. Dump means you're releasing something, but you're doing it in a way that it will disappear. Now, it seems to me quite obvious what's going on here. The instinctive reaction of the campaign, again, reflecting the candidate herself, is to dump, is to hide, is to cover. That's been the way the Clintons have operated for 30 years, and that's what they ended up doing. They ended up segregating 30,000 emails and then destroying them so that, as Trey Gowdy said, even God can't read them now. That, look, what's happening here is she is now drowning in the cumulative effect of the WikiLeaks and of the FBI deal. She can't get her message out. I think AB's exactly right. When you have to bring Alicia Machado back on stage 3 weeks later, or is it now 4 weeks later, that shows you got nothing left in the tank. This is a desperation move. It's her only move, because nothing she says can escape the black hole of all this incoming ammunition. We are looking at all of the weeds and the details of this. Nobody is out there, but what they see is cover up, concealment, and perhaps even lying. I mean, there's no way out of that.
Yeah, Brett Baer, along with Charles Krautheimer, reflecting on the current state of affairs here and the desperation, it would seem, of Hillary Clinton. But that's kind of been the story. I mean, even her inside people have said she doesn't have much of a message. So you got to choose me because I'm a woman. I'll be the first woman. All these other things. But in terms of any championing cause of policy that you get excited about, I mean, can you get excited about more Obamacare? And especially you're hearing across the country as people are hearing about their new plans, the doctor that they could have kept, forget it. I mean, that's, so many generations behind. And maybe people have just accepted that, the Affordable Care Act is not very affordable, and they're looking to government to solve this problem. But it starts with we the people. You know, we the people need to say enough. Enough already. And I believe this is what is starting to happen. Though, as we would all agree, you don't have perfect candidates here on either side. But when you look at what could possibly help us, what could be a positive foot forward in these areas, whether it has to do with Obamacare, immigration issues, whether we talk about, refugee situations, 99%, it was reported yesterday, 99% of the people coming across are Muslim, not one Christian. The Christians, the last time I checked, were the ones that are getting so heavily persecuted. But the Christians, unfortunately, they don't have access to a UN holding camp, because they've all been taken over by Muslims. And if you're not if you're not a Muslim, you're not in the reindeer games. You're not going to be let into those camps. Or if you are, it is going to be at such a level of persecution that many are just staying away. And in order to get here to the United States, you got to understand what the process is. You got to go to a UN camp, and the UN is not protecting Christians there. So the persecution continues, So it's like, where do you go? Where can they possibly go to? But they're hiding, hunkering down in the hills. They've been, kicked out of their homes. And ISIS has come in and taken over their homes. And they've sold their homes to fund the campaign. I mean, what they have done in order to fund all this terror, they've used every possible asset that they can possibly think of. You know, interesting that the very thing they complain about, the people who come in imperialistic and rob a nation of its resources, this is exactly what they are doing to their own people, or at least their own land, or other land that they've been neighbored to. Anyway, this is Bill Martinez Live. The conversation continues. Michael Rubin coming up next.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, I got to tell you, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. A bottom-up movement, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into this mess, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Martinez live. Good morning to you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, it's time for Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, Middle East regional politics, including Iran, Syria, and the Persian Gulf. Michael is the author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, how you doing?
Pretty good, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for coming on. Well, I'll tell you, you know, Michael, you know, when you consider what the next president of the United States is going to have to deal with, you almost wonder why either one of them want the job.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, when we just go around and look at the potential crises, you have Russia, you have China in the South China Sea, you have Iran, and if the next president serves two terms, the sanctions are going to get lifted because of the deal which Secretary of State John Kerry made just as the presidency is winding up. But the key thing to remember, Bill, is that for the past several presidents, it's the crisis that no one saw coming which has turned out to take up the most time, be it Afghanistan, be it Iraq, what have you. So we also have to look at what's simply not on the radar screen right now. It could come from anywhere.
Well, Michael, like anything, when there has been an ignorance or even in this case, poor policy that's been exercised, you've got ground to make up. And how do you make up ground here? And you're only hoping that you've got somebody at the helm that can move the ball in a positive direction here. And, you know, if you can possibly reestablish some, you know, some boundary lines, if that's possible, because Putin's on a rampage here. I mean, he's having fun. He's taken over this vacuum that the United States has left over. Iran is raging. And you've got China now interdicting themselves into Middle East politics as well.
Well, you're absolutely right there, Bill. When a new president enters the Oval Office, he automatically restores political credibility. That's what the honeymoon's all about. But on the world stage, you don't have any magic wand to restore that credibility. It's going to take years. You know, the biggest difference between left and right in America is the left always demonizes power. The right sees that power can be used for good or bad. President Obama saw the projection of U.S. military power as an arrow in a quiver in which to engage in wars of choice. He never understood that it was the proverbial finger in the dike preventing a deluge of chaos. What we're going to need is a president that's going to recognize that we're going to have to restore that military credibility, and that's going to mean a solid investment in the Navy, in the Army, treating our troops well, instead of treating our troops and our military as a petri dish in which to engage in social social experiments with regard to transgender people and such. Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael, you bring up an excellent point here, and you and I have talked about this. When the baton was turned over from Bill Clinton to George Bush, Bush had a blighted military, and here we are in this potential baton turnover if it goes to Trump. I mean, the military has been, as you say, has been brought back to, you know, World War II levels. I mean, and it looks like for all intent and purposes, I mean, war could very well happen in the next 4 years, and America is ill prepared for it.
Well, you know, that's absolutely the case. It's not a coincidence that 4 days after then Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel announced that he was taking the army down to pre-World War II levels, that's when Russia invaded the Ukraine. Now, they had plans to do it anyway, of course. They didn't put it together in 4 days, but they were taking advantage of American weakness. This is something which not only the new president's going to have to deal with, but also Congress, because we have this whole issue of sequestration. That's the 10% cuts across the board. Now, look, I have no problem with eliminating waste in the Pentagon, but you do it with a scalpel instead of an axe. You don't say, we're going to cut 10% off every budget, and you're not going to have any flexibility to determine where that 10% comes from. I'd much rather get rid of a lot of the Pentagon civilians, of which I used to be one, than our men in uniform.
Well, Michael, I think it's quite ironic that the president, in the dark of night behind closed doors, would work on a program like the Affordable Care Act, but yet when it comes to military strategy and what we're doing with, you know, with our enemies and even our allies, we're out there wide open just telling everybody our strategy, which drives, you know, guys like Donald Trump nuts, because you're going, why are you telling the enemy what you're doing?
Well, you know, that's absolutely the case. Donald Trump, perhaps when it comes to Mosul, exaggerates a little bit only because he can't have that sort of troop movement without having people know about it. Mm-hmm. But he's got his finger on the right button. You know, this is something that drives the Iraqis nuts. And in this case, it's not just the White House. It's all the retired generals that want to that want to bounce their military service into profit, become talking heads, and give away what they should. A lot of people forget that with Operation Desert Storm, the 1991 liberation of Kuwait, when George H.W. Bush, then president, understood that he was on the right track, was when Saturday Night Live made fun of the press, when you had that famous skit where the press spokesman was saying, I'll be willing to answer any of your questions so long as it doesn't give away operational detail. And then the first question was, if the Saddam Hussein could take advantage of one weakness, what would it be? You know, that's what we've been living, a Saturday Night Live skit for the last 8 years.
Exactly. I mean, and sad but true. I mean, that those kind of, and those kind of questions to the state come out of, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the media, you go, well, whose job, who are you working for here, with things like that? And that becomes, the order of the day. But this is your, America in the 21st century.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and we've had some statistics out recently that 97% of the journalists at major outlets have donated to the Democratic Party. They have their world vision, and when I talk to journalists and people in journalism programs, what they will actually put their finger on is Woodward and Bernstein blowing up Watergate. That was really the end, the downfall of the media, because where people used to go into the press thinking, I'm just going to tell the who, what, why, where, and when, suddenly everyone imagined themselves breaking up the new scandal, and if they couldn't do it with the facts, they were going to do it with insinuation and politicization and so forth. The press is actually working against democracy at this point.
Yeah, but they're forgetting that they're supposed to be in the middle and be observants, be observers of what's happening in the government, regardless of party. But they seem to be so desirous to be at the cocktail parties and, you know, to be in the inside track. And you can't be in the inside track if you're going to, you know, go against this administration, especially this one.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's been the value of the WikiLeaks. Whatever the provenance of those leaks, it really showed how the press was operating behind the scenes. What really drives me nuts is even if, I mean, I'll condemn it if the Russians were behind it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make the leaks inauthentic, but what really gets me is how in the Obama administration, supposedly 17 intelligence agencies, in reality it was far less, because not 17 were doing the same thing, condemned it, but when it came to China, no dice, when they leaked all of personnel management files.
Exactly. Well, you know, Michael, this is, you know, this what this all comes down to, where America has to wake up to the reality of what's going on. As you say, even still, we're not sure that it's Russia, but, you know, to hear the Democratic talking points, it's all Russia's fault, right?
Absolutely. That's what they say. And, you know, we've got to look in the mirror ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, without a doubt. Michael Rubin is with us, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute and former Pentagon official. We've got more from Michael on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America, just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardovite. Cardovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in the best-selling novel, Nephilim, by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com, hashtag Nephilim.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around.
Join us online at
BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have around the country and around the world via shortwave, thank you for joining the cause here to get this country back on track to pursue the truth no matter where it leads us. Michael Rubin is with us, and our conversation continues. Michael, of course, the author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, very little has been said since the announcement that Russia was moving a flotilla into the Mediterranean. Where are we at with that?
As far as I know, the Russians, while they decided not to refuel in Spain, and remember, we leased a portion of the Rota Naval Air Station in Spain, and that's our main source of operations, they probably moved on to Syria itself. They have a major naval base there. They have an Air Force base as well. But, you know, one of the big interesting things right now with regard to the Eastern Mediterranean is how the Russians are expanding, not just by having that base in Syria, but there's been a lot of talk that Turkey is about to award Russia basing rights as well. And that would be interesting if Russia develops a base in what still is a NATO country.
Well, you've got with Turkey, speaking of which, Operation Euphrates Shield against Daesh in Syria, and this was is now in operation based on agreement between Turkey and Russia, right?
Well, absolutely. And here I'm being a history nerd, but I'll draw some parallels to Pakistan. We all know about the North America Treaty Alliance. People forget that there used to be a Central Treaty Alliance, which included Iraq, pre-revolutionary Iran, Pakistan, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, Pakistan has gone to war several times with India, and the thing is, every time Pakistan has started a war with India, they've convinced themselves that India was really to blame. In 1965 and 1971, they went to war with India, and they demanded that the United States come to their assistance, Pakistan's assistance. Of course, we didn't do that because we saw that Pakistan was the aggressor. Mm-hmm. Now, with Turkey massing troops on Iraq's border, what's going to happen if Turkey says you have to come to our defense when everyone knows Turkey's starting this?
Yes.
This could be a really death knell for NATO, the way Central Treaty Organization disappeared simply because Pakistan was acting so irresponsibly.
Well, and NATO is more and more in the headlines right now in terms of its, on one hand, vulnerability, but also its sense of integrity is, what is NATO doing now?
Well, you know, NATO has gotten a boost of adrenaline as the European Union has started to fall apart. Mm-hmm. At least NATO in theory has a purpose, but this is going to be the big crisis for the next administration. There's reports that Russia is buying property, houses, and so forth in Finland with the idea of housing troops should Russia ever invade.
Right.
And while people are worried about NATO's eastern flank, Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, and so forth, what my colleague Leon Aaron is most worried about, and he's the guy that called the Ukraine thing several years ahead, is what if Russia goes into Kazakhstan or Belarus? Are we prepared? What will our reaction be? The only thing we can say with a certainty is that Russia is on the warpath and we're not prepared.
Speaking of warpaths, what do you make of China? We brought this up in the first segment. You know, China interjecting itself into the Middle East. I mean, here they got their hands full in the South China Sea, building up, their military island and planting their flag and claiming territorial rights some 800 miles off their coast. But now we find them in the Middle East. What's all that about?
Well, it's not just the Middle East. They're in Africa, they're in the Atlantic Ocean, which I'll talk about in a second, but here's the thing. China has economic interests, but Russia went into Georgia and the Ukraine when its economy started to waver. We now see that China's economy is starting to waver, and the fact of the matter is their one-child policy was a poison pill because demographically, their economy is not going to be able to handle an aging population. Mm-hmm. So what if China gets a Putin, someone that flag waves, someone that starts a crisis in order to distract from their own economic woes? That's what we need to worry about. And against the backdrop of all this, President Obama is withdrawing our forces from the Azores, which are the only base we have in the middle of the Atlantic. And guess who's moving in?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, they just, Barack Obama put the welcome mat out for them. Why not take advantage of it, right?
Right, and we were talking about a resurgent Russia as well. We have Russian submarines off the coast of Virginia, off the coast of Florida. Well, the fact of the matter is, We've closed down our base in Iceland back in 2006. We're closing down our base in the Azores. Those used to be the two main anti-submarine warfare bases. And again, the Chinese president just came and visited the Azores and talked openly about how he was going to invest in Lajes Field, which is our base, and in the port. It's absolutely insane.
Are we surrounded here, Michael?
We're getting surrounded because we're willingly allowing ourselves to be. The problem is President Obama, he still thinks like a University of Chicago academic.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary of State John Kerry, I mean, he sees diplomacy as how to get to yes. As long as he's moving, he thinks he's being successful. They don't realize that while we're talking about compromise, Russia, Iran, China look at this as diplomacy as a black and white, we win, they lose situation. China's just flipped the Philippines. Where else are they going to go? Momentum matters.
Exactly. What about Israel in the midst of all this?
Well, you know, Israel's the only beacon of stability in the region. And if we want to look more broadly, I'd say Israel and Morocco and Jordan. And what are the three countries which we give the most trouble to?
Right.
I mean, throwing Saudi Arabia to the mix as well.
Right.
It seems that if you want the United States to come down on you like a sack of bricks, if you want us to criticize you and mess with you, what you have to be is a stable country that's pro-American.
Yeah, be one of our allies, right?
Exactly, because if you're one of our adversaries, take Iran, take even Syria, then we're going to be as solicitous as possible towards you.
Well, you and I, again, have discussed this at length earlier with Iran's continued steps towards nuclearization. What's the update here on this? I mean, the president still insists that he has stopped Iran's nuclear ambitions, but everything else I'm reading, Michael, would be in contrary to that statement.
Well, they're building up their infrastructure as we speak. Now, they're not allowed to run the new generation centrifuges yet, but they're allowed to experiment with them. So in 8 years, they're allowed to simply upgrade. When people talk about these P1, P2, P3 centrifuges, you can think of it in terms of 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G cell phone technology. So they're going to be able to upgrade to the latest models. And what people forget is one of the worst things about this deal was it has an expiration date. So in about 8 years now, the Iranians are home scot-free, which means the next administration, again, if it wins re-election, is going to have to deal with an empowered Iran with hundreds of billions of dollars more money, with no restrictions on its nuclear program. What are we going to do then?
Can there be any reversal of this, or is the genie so far outside the bottle that the next president, say, other than Hillary Clinton, has to live with this, that they cannot, dial this back or, see if they can get control of this? Because the path to nuclear weaponization is well-defined. They're well down the road here. And then, again, as you and I discussed, let's talk about the proliferation of nuclear weapons throughout the Middle East.
Well, you're absolutely right there. You know, anyone can walk away from the deal, but the problem is that the Obama administration gave Iran everything it wanted up front. Another way to look at it is like giving a toddler dessert first and then asking him or her to eat their spinach.
Right.
The fact of the matter is once you give them dessert first, if you say the deal's over, they don't care anymore.
No.
So this is the situation we're in. And the Iranian supreme leader has been making clear that he has absolutely no intention of compromising. He has no intention of coming in from the cold on any other issue. Terrorism is resurgent throughout the region. And, you know, we're financing it at this point because we're giving the Iranians cash. Remember the 2010 plot to blow up the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C.?
Exactly.
We discovered that by monitoring Iranian bank accounts. You can't do that with cash.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, and here we are. We've been complicit in the process now, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Michael Rubin, thank you as always. Great to have your insight here with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live. Michael Rubin with the American Enterprise Institute. He is author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. I highly recommend that. It is available at all the usual places. This will give you added insight and understanding as to what this next president, the one that we are electing less than a week from now, he or she could be faced with in this 21st century America as it continues down the road. Michael, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, Sassandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-957-9652. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-957-9652. That's 1-800-957-9652. 1-800-957-9652.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you along with us, joining in the good fight to pursue the truth. Stephen Moore is with us. He is FreedomWorks senior economic contributor and Trump advisor. Steve, how are we doing, buddy?
Hi, Bill. Great to be with you.
Well, the big question is, as we get closer and closer to that day where we pull the lever, things are starting to settle in, which is what we thought they would. And people are coming to the reality that, look, we've got two flawed candidates. After all, they're human beings. Nobody's perfect here. But you've got to make a stark choice, and there is a clear choice decision, more so than I think any modern election that we've ever experienced. Steve, what do you say?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, I think this is a sharp contrast when it comes to the policy issues, especially the ones that I work on, which is the economy and jobs and our budget situation. And you couldn't have two candidates who have more diametrically opposite views of what to do about the economy. I'll just give you one example, Bill, something I've worked on, as you know, which is the tax plan for Donald Trump. I'm one of the senior economic advisors. Well, you know, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to cut taxes for businesses and workers to grow the economy. Hillary wants to raise them, you know, and I don't know of any economic philosophy. I don't know if you know of any bill that says that when the economy is struggling, you know, raising taxes by $1.5 trillion is going to help make the economy grow faster.
I think we already experienced in the last 8 years, the empirical evidence came back pretty resoundingly that that doesn't work, right?
Well, and by the way, you know, if Hillary were on the show, he'd say, well, it's only going to be, you know, really rich people. It's going to be people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and, you know, LeBron James and Taylor Swift and people like that who are going to pay all the taxes. But, you know, the truth is, if you look at the people who are, quote, rich under her plan, I looked at these numbers, about two-thirds of them are small business owners. You know,
exactly.
So how are you going to create more jobs if you're going to take money out of the businesses that are supposed to create the jobs?
Yeah, this has been the problem from day one. As I say, just even looking back at the last 8 years, there has been a disenfranchisement with a small business. There's been more hindrance. You know, Hillary often talks about her dad being a small businessman. I got to think that if he was living in Hillary's 2016 America, he'd be having some very short and poignant and direct conversations with his daughter, wouldn't he?
I think so. And, you know, by the way, it's not just the tax burden, which I think taxes are a big problem for our companies. You know, we have the highest tax rates in the world, and that is leading to companies leaving the U.S. It's one of the reasons jobs are going to Mexico and China and India and places like that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make another point, which is related, which is, you know, I'm part of something called the Trump Leadership Council with a lot of CEOs of major American companies, manufacturers and financial services companies and transportation companies and energy companies. And what they've been saying, you know, to Donald Trump in these meetings is, yeah, the taxes are bad, but the regulations are even worse.
Exactly.
So we've got to do something about the regulatory red tape. You know, we're strangling our businesses. I saw a statistic, Bill, the other day that it costs manufacturers in the United States almost just a little under $20,000 for every employee they have in terms of regulatory costs.
Wow.
So is it any wonder they go to Mexico or they go to other countries where the regulatory cost is maybe one-tenth that high?
Yeah, and you're not even bringing Obamacare into play here. You're just talking.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. That's right. And Obamacare is the new one on the block that is, you know, people ask me a lot, you know, if Donald Trump is president, what kind of regulations are you talking about getting rid of? Well, I'll mention one right now that's related to Obamacare, which is the 50 worker rule. You know that one that says if you're a small business and you have more than 50 workers, you have to pay every worker Obamacare taxes, mandates, regulations. So a lot of the small business men and women I talk to say, you know, we're going to hire a 50th worker. I'm going to stay under, you know, 45, 46 workers so I don't have to deal with that. You know, well, why do we want to have a law that encourages employers to hire fewer workers? It's just dumb.
Well, it's one of the greatest management principles that has been around forever. It simply says people will do that which they get rewarded for. So if the incentive is to have less employees, guess what you get?
Well, that's right. And, you know, we've got, you know, it's interesting because I've traveled quite a bit with Donald Trump, you know, all over the country in the last few months. And, you know, you go to these little small towns, and it's so sad to see, you know, whether it's York, Pennsylvania or Grand Rapids, Michigan or Rockford, Illinois. And what you're seeing is people, middle class Americans are just so worried about what's happening to their local communities, where factories are leaving, jobs are leaving. You know, let's have an economy, you know, a set of policies that want to bring jobs back to the United States, not have them leave this great country of ours. I mean, look, if you live in Silicon Valley or you live in Hollywood, California, or if you live in Washington, D.C. or Wall Street, you know, you're doing really well. But
exactly.
These middle-class towns, those are the ones, Bill, that are really hurting. And those are the jobs that have left.
Well, what I appreciate about Trump here, Steve, is not only that it's the little town, but it's the people in the little town. People with dreams, people with a desire to be productive. I think that's when we're most fulfilled and happiest, is when we feel like, hey, we're earning a paycheck, we're doing something positively,
you know,
for our family. Go ahead.
Bill, that is such an important point that you just made, because I want to, you know, it's such a prescient point. You know, I live in Virginia, and we're a coal mining town, and Obama and Hillary regulations, especially the environmental regulations, have just decimated these communities. You go to places that used to have, you know, 5 or 10,000 coal miners, you know, fourth generation coal mining towns, and they have been devastated. I mean, literally, where you once had people working, now people are on unemployment lines, they're on meth. It's just a terrible thing to behold. Now, Hillary's response to that, you may have recalled in the debate, I'm going to spend billions and billions of dollars of federal aid to these communities. And I'm like, Hillary, you don't get it.
Right.
People don't want a check from the government. They want their jobs back. You know, there's no dignity in taking a check from the government.
Exactly.
They want their jobs, Bill, and it's exactly the point you just made. That's how you feel self-worth and dignity, is having a job and producing and being productive.
Well, Steve, you've been on a roller coaster ride with Trump, as we all have been.
Okay.
Anybody that's been, you know,
like it.
Well, I'll tell you,
I'm very euphoric because, you know, as we speak, you know, the latest polls have Trump just down 2 points. He was down, mm-hmm. I think the last time we talked, he was down 10 points. So
right.
He's made up 8 points in 2 weeks, and the momentum is clearly on our side. And I don't think it's maybe so much because Donald Trump is any saint. He ain't a saint, but, you know, Hillary. You know, she just has so many problems with these corruption scandals, and I just don't think the American people, you know, it's a contest between a womanizer and a serial liar, and I wish we had better choices, but these are our choices, and I think it really does come down to them, you know, since they both have character defects, clearly, which one is going to actually be better for family finances and jobs and the economy. And if you look at the polls, Bill, over the last, you know, 2 years, what's the number one issue for people? It's jobs and the economy.
That's right, exactly.
You know?
Well, James Carville said it, right? It's still the economy, stupid. Hasn't changed. Still the same thing.
Yeah, it hasn't changed at all.
Right, exactly.
And I would add one other thing, which is, you know, I know a lot of your listeners care about, because I care a lot about it, is the national debt.
Yeah.
And we're up to almost $20 trillion, and Hillary wants to borrow and spend and spend. And, you know, I just cringe at the thought that we're going to do it. We can't do this. We're a great nation. You know, I love America. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. And I really believe in America. But if we're going to borrow this kind of money, I just don't think that story has a happy ending. Do you?
No, without a doubt. Well, we've got to do it. We've been kicking the can down the road long enough, not to mention what this next president is going to endure. Our national security is compromised, immigration problems. All this stuff is going to come upon this next president, and to think you're going to spend your way out of it, we've already proven time and again that that doesn't work. Steve, you know, I like your quote when people have asked you about Trump, and in your meeting with him, you said, Donald, I don't know if I love you, but I sure love your voters. That really does say it all, doesn't it?
You know, I really feel that way. And, you know, I've met some of the greatest people, you know, being part of the Trump team. And, you know, I cringe sometimes when I hear the things that Trump has said. And, you know, I can't defend that. But,
right.
You know, when I'm with him in private, by the way, I really like the man. I mean, he's a very gracious man, and he's very kind, and he's very smart. And, you know, I would say this, the people, though, that I see at these rallies, Bill, are just the best people. And when Hillary calls these people deplorable and racist and sexist and xenophobes, it's just, you know, it's just a terrible thing. These are people who just care about our country. They see the decline in our nation, and they care about making us great again. And what's wrong with that?
Exactly. Well, Steve, we got to leave it right there.
Okay.
Steve Moore has been with us, FreedomWorks senior economic contributor and Trump advisor. Steve, as always, good to have you with us. Have a great one.
All right, Bill. I'll talk to you after.
This MultiView special report is brought to you by Kraft Heinz. When we think of fall, we think of indulging in rich and flavorful meals, sides, drinks, and desserts. But as the temperatures drop and the holidays approach, our busy calendars begin filling up, leaving us with little time to think about preparing dinner. The solution? Stovetop Stuffing Mix. Stovetop Stuffing Mix has been America's favorite stuffing for more than 40 years. If it's not Stovetop, it's not Thanksgiving. For stress-free stuffing, choose Stovetop Stuffing Mix. Each box contains everything you need, including vegetables, seasonings, herbs, spices, and breadcrumbs packed with flavor. Unlike traditional stuffing, Stovetop Stuffing Mix can be prepared on the stove, in a pot, or even in the microwave. It's perfect for sharing with the whole family. Talk about your perfect side. It's ready for the table in just 5 minutes. For more information, tips, and recipes, visit craftrecipes.com/stovetop.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid, with us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hello, America. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and it is time. You know that time. James Hurston time. Yes, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, law professor. Mr. James, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, fantastic. How are you? It's a good thing we don't have any slow news days anymore.
I know. They just keep on coming, and they probably will for another week at least anyway. But, and of course, you know, the Democrats are lining up their cannons aimed at James Comey. They didn't think they had to do that, but it's the same form and fashion that they've done in the past. In fact, on Monday, I had spoke with Larry Nichols, if you remember Larry Nichols, closely attached to the Clintons.
I remember Larry Nichols.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, he sounds worse yet. I don't think he's going to be with us much longer, frankly.
Oh,
but,
rest him.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess he's trying to, you know, I guess clear out his demons and look for redemption because he is spilling the beans on the Clinton apparatchik.
Yeah, well, we've watched that for so long, and I remembered, and I wrote about this. There was a literal PR and media war on Kenneth Starr.
Yes.
And you remember this.
Oh,
and the attempt was, because he was the special prosecutor, because his investigation led to the impeachment of the 42nd president, the approach that the Democratic Party took, and James Carville and George Stephanopoulos at the time, Carville was a presidential advisor, Stephanopoulos was the communications director, and others, they created the war room. Mm-hmm. And part of their approach was to destroy Ken Starr as a person, destroy his reputation, even to the point where people who were involved in it, like Lanny Davis, said they felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
anybody
now,
with a conscience, it's a bit troubling. But why should we expect anything different? I mean, this is what Hillary has done. This is what attorneys do, right? When you have somebody, you try to you try to negate the testimony, and if you can invalidate the witness or somebody, in this case, it happened to be a special prosecutor. If you invalidate him, then that puts you gives you a big check mark, doesn't it?
Well, it's in courtrooms, with the witness's credibility is attacked, but this is a little bit different because these are personal attacks to destroy, there to destroy careers and character and reputation. I mean, it changed very quickly in 24 hours. Hillary Clinton was gingerly tiptoeing around the issue, really asking for Comey to come up with more information on this reopening of the private server case. But then it changed into outright attacks, particularly from her surrogates. Mm-hmm. And then, lo and behold, the media joins in. I mean, the New York Times published an opinion piece by a Minnesota law professor who is a Hillary supporter, who basically accused Comey of violating the Hatch Act, which was is a ludicrous accusation, which then was repeated by Senator Harry Reid. There's a legal analyst on CNN who called for his resignation. Paul Krugman essentially called for his resignation. Listen to this headline from the Daily Beast. Quote, Republicans weaponize James Comey's FBI to kneecap Hillary Clinton. Close quote. Yeah. So this article basically treats him like Ken Starr, calls what he's doing a partisan witch hunt. Howard Dean said that Comey is on the same side as Vladimir Putin. They're invoking Vladimir Putin. And
Putin gets blamed for everything. I mean, if it's not climate change, then it's Putin. You know, it's one or the other. That's what it comes down to. But, you know, the thing is so ridiculous, James, because as you mentioned, CNN, which has become the Clinton News Network, Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper were beside themselves. I mean, I'm thinking, are you guys trying to find out information or are you trying to lead the witness and everything here? You know, I mean, it was just unbelievable and how obvious it was in their I'm not even sure I want to call it reporting.
You know, it's not reporting. I mean, Rachel Maddow was almost in tears. The bottom line is, though, they can't stop it. They can't do anything about it. The only thing that could really stop James Comey is an impeachment. There's not time for that. And he's going to proceed along this investigation. First, they were screaming, there's no warrant. There's no warrant. Now there is a warrant.
Yes.
And then they were screaming, he's never read the emails. He doesn't have the emails. Well, he's had possession of them since October 3rd. And what I believe has happened, there were reports that the good, solid, rank and file in the FBI were so upset when Comey didn't go forward with recommending prosecution that they were threatening a mutiny. And
yeah, that's what
we understand.
Remember,
the NYPD was involved in this investigation along with it. Mm-hmm. So I think the pressure within the FBI plus the WikiLeaks revelations, which showed the intent that Comey had said was missing to justify his not recommending prosecution. All of those elements, I think, forced Comey's hand, and I think he had to do this.
Yeah, he's backed in a corner. What is he going to do? I mean,
exactly.
Is he going to continue to take more bullets for the team here?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he is taking, no matter what he did,
yes,
he was going to take bullets, and now it's different than the Republicans. It's so interesting, too, because the Washington Post had an article around the time in July when Comey said he wasn't going to go forward, and some Republicans criticized his legal reasoning because it didn't make sense because the statute doesn't require intent.
Right.
And the Washington Post had a piece that said Republicans undermine the judicial process by criticizing the FBI director. And then yesterday, the Washington Post had an opinion piece, James Comey is damaging our democracy. It said, so these people, you know, and I know they're going to claim that it's on both sides, but the Democrats are in full war room mode. They're attacking personally. Right. I'm sure they have opposition research going on Comey, and their goal is to completely destroy him within 1 week.
Wow.
That's what they're going to try to do. I don't believe they'll be successful because I think the guy actually has a pretty clean record up till now.
Right.
I think he made a terrible mistake in not prosecuting in the first place. I think he knows that now.
Well, James, I can tell you, Larry Nichols said, be careful, because this is kind of a typical Clinton ploy here, that suddenly there will be some information that will be leaked out on Friday. He says, be prepared. On Friday, they'll leak out some information, which will be pretty, you know, pretty neutral, kind of, you know, not a whole lot about it. And then they'll claim that, see, this was all along. She was always innocent. There's nothing there, and that kind of deal. But I don't know how James, you know, as I told Larry, I don't know how James Comey gets there. Look how long it took the State Department, everybody, just to funnel through 30,000 emails. We're talking over 600,000 emails involved.
That's exactly
here.
Exactly right.
How are they going to do that?
The fact is, if the Clintons try that Friday afternoon leak, I think the rank-and-file FBI guys will start leaking themselves. But I do think Larry Nichols is right. If you look at the Clintons' pattern, they're going to release some kind of November surprise against Trump. Either it's they're probably right now pressuring Howard Stern to release his audio tapes.
Right.
You know, something like that to try to change the subject. And they've been very good at changing the subject. Also, Hillary's gone on the negative attack approach now, where instead of doing the closing argument, which you normally do at the end of a campaign, each campaign stop, she's attacking Trump on all the various grounds that they've done before. So they may just regurgitate some of the same grounds, maybe bring out the Gold Star family. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, like they said all along, even her own team, she doesn't have a message. So what is she going to do? I mean, you know, she's manufactured this thing and, you know, that Trump is the boogeyman. But, you know, the other thing is what happens if Julian Assange gets his email connected? You know,
well, he's got it connected because he has other people leaking it out. The leaks continued even after he lost his Wi-Fi. And he has tweeted that when the full information is out, these are his words, Hillary is done. He said the only thing that can save her is if somehow she squeaks in and she pardons herself. But, you know, and that's never been tested legally.
Yeah, right.
But I think that the American people and the Congress, even the Democrats, would not put up with that if she pardon herself. I think that would be, they would impeach her.
Well, Barack Obama would pardon her before it got to that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a distinct possibility. Although, does Barack Obama want to destroy his legacy by pardoning someone who, you know, is clearly in violation of a statute that says in plain language, if you're in violation of the statute, you cannot hold political office?
James, look at how far she's gotten to this point. This is what's so amazing, is that, you know, you're an attorney. You understand all this. And, of course, it isn't done until, you know, the judge finally says, you know, let it be so. And there's a decision made. But in the court of public opinion, I mean, half of America, better than half of America, doesn't trust her. But half of America, you know, believes that she should be in jail. And the other half feels like, no, she should be the president of the United States. So it's going to be crazy. There's no doubt about it.
We're talking, and even Doug Schoen, longtime Clinton advisor, now says that if Hillary gets elected, there will be a constitutional crisis, and therefore he is questioning his own support or reassessing his support for Hillary Clinton. And this is the issue that now the Trump campaign is relying on. You know, in your scenario where Obama pardons Clinton,
right,
I think that risks an Obama impeachment as well. Of course, he could always do
it. Yeah, just what you always need to impeach him on his way out. James, we're out of time. This story will continue and keep on going, as we know, as it has been. James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. James, as always, thank you for being on Bill Martinez Live.
My name is Lee, and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Whey have surpassed the results for most any other supplements as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Whey is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.